We continue this section of John's Gospel just before Jesus goes into the garden for the persecution. And he's continually sharing with his friends, with the disciples, more and more about the reality of who he is and who he is in relationship to the Father. And these last couple of days, he's been talking to us about sending the Holy Spirit as we in the church prepare for the great feast of Pentecost, where once again we will celebrate renewed outpouring of the Holy Spirit into each one of our lives. And Jesus is telling us that the Spirit will be sharing with us the very life that the Father and the Son share. This complete and total gift that they are to one another, the Spirit will begin to share that with us. We will be invited into the very life of the Holy Trinity. This is the reality of our lives as Christians. That it's not do we simply believe a declaration of truth about who God is, or we don't follow the commandments so we don't break any laws. That through the sacraments, especially baptism, we are brought into the reality of Jesus the Son, of God the Father, and God the Holy Spirit. The very life that they share, we too are able to share in him whom we live and move and have our being, that St. Paul says so beautifully. And this passage that we heard in the first reading of the Acts of the Apostles, when Paul goes to Athens and he's in the Areopagus, the great center of debate, the great center of the city where the great minds would discuss all of everything that was to be known and to be true. Paul is taken there. Paul is sent there. And we can see in these last pages that we've been hearing from the Acts of the Apostles how the church is moving out from the center of Jerusalem into the other lands, to the Jews that have been dispersed because of persecution, and now going into just complete Gentile, pagan territory. And so whereas before, Peter and Paul and Silas and Barnabas would preach according to the proclamation of the salvation history, that this Jesus whom God made Lord and God, who they had crucified, was brought back to life. They were able to use the images and the reality of salvation history to the Jews. Now they're speaking to people who aren't Jews, who don't have that knowledge of salvation history. So Paul is using the tools, the means that will be able to speak to their hearts. So he's using Greek philosophy and the argument style of rhetoric, the same way that they would be talking and discussing amongst themselves. St. Paul enters into that situation. And as we are called to be disciples who are evangelists in the world, called from our own way out into the world to spread the message of Jesus, St. Paul today gives us a wonderful example of what it means to be a disciple, an apostle, a missionary. That we don't just simply impose what we know to be good and true. We try to find a common ground. And so St. Paul says, I see that you are a religious people. He doesn't condemn them for being idolaters. He doesn't condemn them for having the wrong idea of God. He compliments them. He affirms them in this religious nature that they have, this desire to worship something greater than themselves. We all have this within us. And so we can think about the times that we sin, the times that we turn to fake gods and false idols. It's this desire within us for something great. This desire within us to worship something. And so St. Paul says, I see you have a temple to the unknown God. Let me tell you about him. And this is the mission of everyone who preaches the truth, whether from the pulpit or from our workplaces, at school, at home. Let me tell you about Jesus Christ. This is what St. Paul said. And as he began to use common language and common themes and common ideas, he went a little too far. he says that he has provided confirmation by all, by raising him, by raising Jesus from the dead. And so when they heard about the resurrection, some began to scoff. They didn't want to hear what he had to say anymore. They couldn't understand it. They didn't want to take it. They began to ridicule and scoff. And some pushed him off, said, well, you come back later and talk to us about this. We don't want to hear it right now. So sometimes, as we preach the truth, as we share the saving message of Jesus Christ, some people won't want to hear it. That should not be a deterrent for us. We don't measure success on how many people accept Jesus. We're successful when we are faithful to our call to be disciples. And it's okay if you don't know everything. It's okay if you don't yet have a full grasp of everything theological. Because Jesus promised us in today's gospel, the Spirit would guide us to all truth. That he would walk with us and guide us to that fullness. So sometimes we can be intimidated because we don't know everything. We can't quote the Bible. We can't quote the dogmas. It's okay. Beg the Holy Spirit for a renewed outpouring. Beg Jesus to be with you. Beg the Holy Spirit to be your guide. To firstly guide yourself to all truth, so that you do come to a deeper, intimate knowledge of the Father's love for you. And then beg the Spirit to guide you as you share this saving message with everyone that you encounter. Because everyone is made to know Jesus Christ. Everyone is religious by nature. And they are desperate. They are thirsty. They are hungry for the name of Jesus. With confidence and humility, let's go into the world and share this life-saving message, the Spirit of truth. Amen.